Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was saying earlier that today we are moving on to a new venue. God has blessed us with a much bigger place, and I'm very excited about that. And you know, in a way that caused me to think of some of the things that we've experienced in this place. It caused me to think of some of the amazing things that God has done, not just here, but also in my life. You know, one of the reasons why I like to testify and why it's good for us to testify is because when we testify, it reminds us of what God has done in the past. And it reminds us that the grace of God is always there for us. And it gives us hope for the day of tomorrow. It builds our faith. I must be honest with you, I find the attitude in our country sometimes really, really strange. And I'm going to tell you why, because I've seen many times how God does amazing things for people. Yet you can't pay them to give a public testimony to what God has done. And I feel that that is very wrong, because, you know, when we testify what God has done, we give God glory. It's not about looking good in front of people. It's about saying, listen, yeah, guys, this is where I was. This is where my life was. And this is what God has done for me. You are giving God glory, but you are also giving an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to bless and to inspire somebody that is listening. Because you must understand, there's only so much problems in the world. And what you're going through, probably quite a few thousand other people are going through at the same time. And if they can hear from your lips what God has done for you, then it gives them hope that God is going to do something similar in their life. I was speaking to a gentleman a while ago, and I was speaking to this gentleman about curses. Let's just put it out there. Christians don't like to hear about curses. They don't like to hear that there is such thing as curses, because, you know, there is this attitude that we live. Just take it down a bit. It's humming. You have something chronic. They have this thing that we are living in the era of God's grace. And because of that, you know, these things have all been dealt with. And in explaining to this gentleman how I came to know about these things, I had to share a bit about my testimony. And I would like to share just a brief bit of where I come from. You see, one thing, this is how I look at life, and this is how I look at the Word of God. It's practical and it has to make sense. Even though there is a very strong supernatural component that you have to accept by faith, it still has to work in your life. Amen? If it doesn't work, why follow it? One thing I can say to you about the Word of God, I've been walking this road now for close on 20 years. And you know what? The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is absolutely that piercing sword that pierces between soul and spirit. And the Word of God, when it goes into action, it changes, it transforms, it renews, it makes whole, it heals. Many, many, many years ago, I grew up in a very, let's call it, religious household. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, sometimes when we look at religiosity, we can look at it in a bad way. What I'm trying to imply by that is I grew up in a house where my parents went to church. I attended Sunday school, and it was important for us that God be part of the family. Amen. When I was about, 8 or 9 years old, I was given a Bible for my birthday present. And I still have that same Bible somewhere in my house, and I used to read that Bible. Now, where the story goes a bit off is I became religious. I didn't necessarily have a relationship with God. I believed that in order for me to be in good standing with God, I had to pray, I had to read my Bible, you know, I had to do everything right, because I didn't understand. Because a lot of things, spiritual things, didn't make sense to me at that point in time in my life. Then I also have to add to you that I was probably a naughty boy, because going to church for me, I found church quite boring. In a way, I'm ashamed to say it, but in another way, it was just the reality, because the church that we attended, with all due respect, was a boring church. The sermons didn't speak to me. I didn't really experience God there. My version of going to church on a Sunday was kind of like sitting there, and then I count the lights, you know, because they might have changed since last Sunday. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, they're still the same. Okay, let's check how many bricks going up there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ooh, look at that interesting hat that lady has on, you know. This was my mindset while I was sitting there. The sermons in those days, to some extent, comprised of a verse that kept being repeated and repeated and repeated. But fair enough, it's a verse that's coming to me, but it wasn't speaking to me. I don't know if it makes sense to you. I don't know if you maybe came through the same ranks that I did, but it didn't speak to me. And I never really experienced God. And it doesn't mean that I didn't want to experience God. I actually just didn't experience God. And then, you know what, this is not necessarily the best thing that I have, but I used to bunk church a lot. And probably some of the dwang I had in my life later on was just payback for that. But the fact is, there were many Sundays that I would sit there and then things like, and then I'm out the door there and then I go walking somewhere. Fact is, even though I didn't experience God, God is real. And there is a way to experience God in a way that everything begins to fall into place and everything begins to make sense. Now, when I was, I think, 18 years old, we come to a place where you are presented to the church. I don't exactly know how you put that in English. And I came and I stood in front of the congregation, and the pastor, presented me to the congregation, and everybody clapped hands, and, you know, everybody was all excited. And that was also pretty much the last time that I went to church for quite a long time. Because now it's like I've got my paperwork, I've dotted the I's, I've crossed the T's, everything in my life is fine now. And I didn't go back to church for quite a long time. And my life went down a very worldly route. I was very into going to clubs and dancing and, you know, having fun. And I could do that very well. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I was out. I was young. I was earning a fairly decent salary for my age. And there was a bit of money to go out. And I used to go out and I used to have a lot of fun. I used to wake up with a couple of hangovers now and then. But that was my life. Now, here's the thing. God always had a plan for my life. God's plan for my life and the place where I was at that point in time was not the same. In fact, they were very, very far removed from each other. Now, I also have to add something, because I mentioned earlier on that I was religious. Now, you must understand, I'm coming back 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, drunk as a skunk, but I can't go to sleep because I have to pray. Whether I made any sense while I was praying, God only knows. But I would sit there and I would pray, and then I would read from my Bible. And now you must understand, I don't know which verse to read, because there's 3 of them, you know, like they're moving around. But I would force myself to sit and I would read, because I can't go to sleep because I have to read my Bible. I also have to add to that I had a fear of God, but it wasn't a good fear. You know, sometimes we say you have to fear God. I was afraid of God. Because I was constantly thinking to myself, I'm in the dwang, yeah, I'm not doing good things, and you know what, he's going to zap me. Something bad is going to happen in my life. I had this fear, and reading from the Bible sometimes made me feel a little bit better. It's like, at least I've done that part right, you know. God knew that I was fairly far from him. The good news that I want to give you, if you have family members that are far from God, God doesn't give up on us. God honestly doesn't give up on us, because God has a plan for your life. And you see, God had a plan for my life that back in the day I did not understand. I had an experience in the church where the church never touched my heart. God was going to do that for me, but in a different way. Fast forward a couple of years. I'm still young. I'm still having a lot of fun. And my father comes home one Sunday night. And I went and I sat and I had a cup of coffee with him. He came home from church. And he tells me that They had a very interesting service today at the church. And apparently there was a visiting evangelist. And this evangelist, he preached a very interesting sermon. And afterwards he called people to come forward and he laid hands on people and prayed for them. And he prophesied over people and the power of God moved and all sorts of things happened. And now you must understand, now me, I'm sitting there. And I'm quite far from God at this point in time. And I think one of the things that really bothered me was this whole prophecy thing. Because when I asked my dad, now what is this prophecy thing? Oh, no, no, the Holy Spirit spoke to people about what was going on in their lives, etc., etc. I thought, oh, man, if they start talking about my life, I'm in the dwang. Yeah, it's, I don't want to be there that day. It's like, wow. And so that was just like reinforcing the whole attitude that I had that I need to stay away from this stuff. But I was wrong. And God knew that what I feared was what I needed. I feared that closeness with God. I feared that intimacy with God. But I must be honest with you, without it, we're not living. We're simply existing. And that was the case in my life. I was existing. I was going from day to day, going through the motions, patting myself on the shoulder that I have a fairly decent life. But in fact, I didn't. My life was hollow. My life was empty and it was shallow. And God had much bigger things for me. God had much more amazing things for my life that he couldn't at that point in time release because of where I was. Now, sitting talking to my father that night, he says to me, you should come and experience what happens when this gentleman preaches. And I didn't want to do it. So me and my father, we started sort of having an argument. Not a bad argument, just like, ah, no, Dad, you know. No, man, come, you'll enjoy it. Okay, and then in the end, I say, okay, fine. But I didn't really mean it, you know. I must be honest with you, I was lying because in my back of my mind, I was thinking, yeah, sure, that's never going to happen. You know, I just wanted my dad to stop. It's okay, fine, Dad, I'll go. Well, you know, the Bible says, honor your promises to God. Even though I didn't mean to honor the promise, God meant to make me honor the promise. So, 3 weeks later is the date that I gave a commitment that I would go to church. Even though I never really meant it, God accepted the commitment that I made. And we had a birthday party that day. I'll never forget. It was a friend of mine's birthday party. And normally that would be an excuse to get drunk as a skunk. You must understand. That was in my BC days. Problem was that this was going to be at his girlfriend's mother's house where alcohol is not allowed. I'm telling you now. So everybody was complaining that now nobody can have fun and this and that. Oh, this is the worst birthday we've ever been to. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, shame. I must actually, Lord bless that lady because she probably deserves to be blessed. And so here's the funny thing. Come 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, actually 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I am quite sober on my way home. Traveling with a friend in a car because he came to pick me up. And I get a phone call. And I'll never forget, that was in the time where cell phones just came out. I had just had my cell phone probably a couple of months. And you know, it was in that time when every time you get a phone call, you're like all excited because somebody's phoning me. You know, like today somebody phones you, it's like, back then it was like, yay, somebody's phoning me, you know. And I answer the phone call, it's my father. And that was also before there was caller ID, you know. I know for some of you, that's like, what you're talking about? Back then, we didn't know who was phoning. It was just ring, ring. You answered, and then you found out who's phoning. Today, you look, oh, I don't want to talk to you. Like, you know? Anyway, the good old days. No, that's what people do. The good old days. So, but point is, if I had seen it was my father, I might have, but there was no such thing. I answer the call, it's my father. He says, where are you? Now, you know, many times in my life I have pondered this. He doesn't start off with, hi, how are you, blah, blah, blah. His first question to me is, where are you? So I don't have any reason to think that I'm being set up, yeah? So I say, I'm in this area. My father says, well, and this area happened to be right where our church was. In fact, to be honest with you, I was less than a kilometer from the church when my father phoned. And I said, no, I'm in this area. My father says, well, remember you promised that you were going to come to church with me. I was thinking, oh, if I knew he was going to ask me to go to church, I would have been in Brakpan. But because I didn't know what he was going to ask, that was in my BC days, you understand. But because I didn't know what he was going to ask, I committed myself. Now, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, man, I really don't want to go to church. I don't want to be there. So I think, oh man, I have a lifeline here. I am with a bunch of guys that if I have to describe how they were, I would have to say that they were pretty much a bunch of uncircumcised Philistines. They were really bad. You know, me, I was like the little angel of the group, because the other oaks, they were like a lot worse than me. And I say to my dad, but dad, you know what? I don't think I can go there because, you know, I'm not in my own car. I'm with somebody else and blah, blah, blah. And I'm with this guy. And my dad says, no problem. Invite them to church. So I'm thinking to myself, well, that's actually a good idea because they're all going to say no. So I say to them, listen, you guys, my dad says there's something going on at the church. He wants to know if we want to go to church. Man, I couldn't believe it. Yes, 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 yes. Everybody says yes. Don't you tell me God doesn't do miracles, because I saw three miracles that day. These oaks have never been near church in their life. Suddenly they all want to go to church. How does that work? I mean, really? And I want to promise you something. If I had asked them any other day except that day to go to church, they would have told me, what are you smoking? Are you mad? Are you drunk? What's wrong with you? But it was like the Spirit of God already began to fill the car. Because God had a plan. And even though God had a plan for me that day, He also touched a bunch of people around me to make sure that my life was going to go in a certain direction. Next thing I know, we're stopping outside the church. And I'm feeling like I'm in the twilight zone here. Because I'm doing everything I can to stay away from you. And it's like the more I run, the more I'm going. And the next thing, I'm sitting in the church. So I decide I better go sit right at the back, because when the sparks begin to fly, I don't want to be close enough. I go sit right at the back. I hadn't been to church at that point in time for probably 5 years. I hadn't put a foot in church. I'm not proud of it. Today, if I had it to do over, I would do a lot of things differently. I would have gone, but that was my life, and I can't change that. I came and I sat right at the back of the church. So the praise and worship started. And by the grace of God, there was definitely some revival in the area of worship, because it was actually, I was thinking to myself, wow, these songs are actually quite nice. I enjoy it. And then, yeah, I'm worshiping and I'm moving, and it was nice. And then the worship is finished. And so this visiting evangelist comes forward, and immediately I start feeling panicky, because I heard a rumor that this prophesies over people. And it's like, oh, just keep quiet. You know, don't say nothing. And he begins to preach. And he preached a very good sermon. Now, you know when the Bible says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword and that it cuts? You know, I was about to be taught a lesson that day. That when God says these things, even though sometimes we take it figuratively, you might as well take it literally, because it literally happens. I was sitting in that church and this gentleman was preaching, and it felt like I was the only person sitting there. It felt like there was nobody else there. It was this guy, and it was like he got bigger and bigger and bigger, and me, I got smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm sitting on that chair, and every word is cutting, it's piercing my heart. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can convict us. Man, I tell you what, I had so much conviction that day, I thought I was going to die. I started getting heart palpitations. The words of this man sounded like, you know when you've got one of those big, what do you call that thing that you talk through?
It sounded like he was standing next to these two ears with a megaphone speaking into my ears. It was like everything disappeared, and it was me and this man and the words that he spoke, and it was like it's at such an amplified level. And I felt something begin to happen inside of me. Of course, now I decide to myself, oh, you know what? This is not normal. Something here is not right. I don't want to be here. I need to leave. And I was sitting right at the back, and the door was two steps away from me. And I made up my mind, I'm going to leave. I don't want to be here. I tried to get up. My legs don't work. God is my witness, I can't get up. Now, I've seen the same thing happen many times when people come to some of our meetings. It's like you get arrested. The best way for me to describe it is to say to you that I got arrested by the Holy Spirit that day. God made a decision that I would experience His power that day. What I'm going to do with it would be up to me, but I could never say that I didn't experience it. So I'm sitting there, I'm trying to get up, I want to leave, I can't leave, I'm stuck. Oh, now things get 10 times worse, because now I'm hearing every word this oak is preaching, but my brain is going at 100 kilometers an hour trying to think, what is this, what the hell is going on with me, this can't be right. And still these words keep coming, cutting into me. I had a lot of emotions going through me that day. I'll never forget it. I think I had every emotion possible to man at the same time, just rolling through my spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, started touching my heart. And you know, the Bible does say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The Word of God might filter through your mind first, but it cuts to your heart, because that's where the change is needed. And the gentleman came to the end of his sermon. And he said these words. He said, if you are sitting here today and you know that the Lord spoke to you and you want to sort out your life, you want to make right your life, come forward. And you know, I almost want to say to you that I didn't even make a decision. I just reacted. The moment he said those words, whatever it was that was keeping me pinned to my chair, it was like it released me. And my whole body just went toing. And I almost want to say to you, I was halfway down the aisle when I realized, ooh, I'm going forward. And it was like a voice began to speak to me. This voice said to me, why are you doing this? You have a good life. This is not for you. You don't have to do this. There's the exit. Turn around and go out. There was two exits, one at the back where I was and one halfway through. And it was like something wanted to pull me out that door. And you know what? Then I had a realization. It's time for me to decide what I want to do with my life. I spent many years sitting in a church where I never experienced God. I heard Him being mentioned, but I didn't experience Him. Was it their fault? Was it my fault? I don't know, but I never experienced Him. But that day, I did. And that changed something in me. You know, that made me come to a realization that this is no fairy tale. That everything in you is real. If what I experience today is real, and it is because it happened to me, it's not somebody telling me what happened to them, this happened to me, then everything in you is real. And then I actually want to know more about this. And I put my foot down and I said, I'm going forward. I stood in the front. There was already a whole bunch of people there. And the gentleman came and stood in front of me. He looked at me and he had this funny way of looking, because it looked like he was looking right through me. I actually started feeling panicky. I was like, cluck, 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 cluck. It's like, what is he seeing? And he prophesied. And as he was speaking these words, I had the strange sensation like my whole body began to float. Like I became lighter and lighter. Now, I know some people don't like the whole idea of being slain in the spirit. If you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, it's when people fall over, boom. And me, I wasn't so sure about this whole thing myself. In fact, I had this thing that, you know what, nobody's going to push me over. Well, nobody had to push me over, and I want to say to you clearly, the guy didn't touch me. He stood in front of me and he spoke. And the next thing I know, boom, here I'm going. It's like, what? And I'm lying on the floor. And the power of God comes upon me. You know, I've had some really amazing experiences in my life. But this is one that I will never, ever forget. It actually felt like a presence came down. And the presence was heavy around me. Now, when I say heavy, I don't mean heavy in a like squashing me way. It's like the whole atmosphere was saturated with this presence. And it actually felt like something inside of me began to open up. I was under the power of God for the first time in my life. It felt like these waves began to go through me. And you know, while I was lying there, I began to speak to God. And the first thing that I said, Lord, I'm sorry that I never took this stuff serious. Because today I know it is. You know, before, it's like, yes, I believe in God, but it's kind of like, in a way, just to make sure that everything's going to be okay. If I die and there is a God, then at least I did believe in Him. You understand? It's like, I do believe in Him, but I've never experienced Him. Well, today I'm experiencing Him. So I lay on the floor and I repented. I said, Lord, sorry. And I spoke to God. I spoke to God for something like 4 hours. I cried. I laughed. I cried again. I laughed again. And so things kept going. And it felt like waves were going over my body. And every time this wave moved over me, it felt like I was released from something. Released from something. I got lighter and lighter and lighter. 12 o'clock that night. The dominie comes, the pastor comes to my father. He gives my dad the keys. He says to my dad, he has the keys. I'm going to sleep now. Because me, I was still on the floor and things were still happening to me. By the grace of God, nobody came and touched me or anything. They left me. I think they could see that God was busy and everybody backed off and they left me on my own. I think it was 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere around there, when eventually it actually felt like this presence that was on top of me. It lifted. When the presence lifted, I had the realization that whatever was happening stopped, and I got up. And I actually want to say to you that I immediately felt like I was a different person. You know, there is a scripture that says we are a new creature in Christ. You know, I can honestly say to you that I know what it feels like, because when I got up off of that floor, I did not feel the same. I looked the same. It felt the same when I touched myself, but something about how I felt in me felt different. There was a happiness in me, an excitement in me, a joy in me that was never ever there before. I still had the same problems that I had before. They just didn't look as big. I still had a lot of the questions that I had before. They just didn't bug me so much anymore. I still had the weight of issues and whatever. I just didn't feel it so much anymore. In fact, I felt light. I felt so light that when I walked, it felt like I was walking on air. Sounds stupid, but that's how I felt. I went home. I couldn't fall asleep. Because what happened to me was so big that it completely occupied my thoughts. Again, I was speaking to God. I was speaking to God about my life. I was speaking to God about what just happened. And I was excited. I felt, I sometimes use the term vuma. For those of you that don't know what vuma is, it's like vroom, vroom, you know, I just want to go, you know. Eventually, I did fall asleep. I fell asleep talking to God. Before, I used to pray, but I almost want to say to you that my prayers were slightly meaningless because I prayed just for the sake of praying. Now, I was talking to God. There was a difference. And before, where I sort of prayed just to make sure that I cover my own backside, now I was talking to God because I want to talk to God, because I have something to say. And I'm not thinking, you know, is he? I know he's real. I know. Next morning I wake up. First thing that pops into my mind is what happened last night. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what was that? That was amazing. I sit on the edge of my bed and I start talking to God. I actually spoke out loud. And I spoke to God about what I felt, what I experienced. And I said something very interesting. I said to the Lord, Lord, I've never really given this much thought. But after what happened last night, now knowing that you are real, knowing that you actually interact with us and that the power of God touches us, etc., etc., I've come to the realization that I might be on this earth for a specific reason. You see, I never thought about stuff like that. It was as long as I could have a jowl and, you know, have a good time, I was sort of happy. I never thought about what's coming. I said to the Lord, Lord, it's dawned on me. You might have put me here for a reason. And maybe because my attitude was wrong, I've sort of missed it. Well, seeing as I now know that you are real, and I now know that you mean business with me, if you want to use me, Lord, you can use me. But I have one request. Whatever that guy had that prayed for me last night, Lord, I want that. I didn't even know what I was asking for. This was based on my experience. But I said, Lord, whatever this oak had that prayed for me last night, I want that. If you give me that, Lord, you can use me. Who knows what I was asking for? I was asking for the anointing and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to work through me. And I do believe God was waiting for me to ask for that. Because you must understand something Jesus says in John 7:37. He says, come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come to me if you are thirsty. One thing you must understand about the Holy Spirit is always around. Not everybody is thirsty for the living water. You see, when my father came home and spoke to me about what I'm going to sort of loosely term the living water that was moving in that church, the flesh part of me said, no, that's not for me. Because my spirit had not yet tasted. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, how many of you have tried to feed your child something and they're like, oh, no, I don't want that. Oh, that's not good. And then we say to them, oh, but how could you say it's not good? You've never tasted it. And then sometimes when they eventually get to the point that they taste it, it's like, ooh, I want more. You know, for me, my experience with the Holy Spirit was a bit like that. The first time that I was told about what the Holy Spirit does, I was like, oh, that's not for me. But you see, God brought me to a place where he, in a sense, exposed me to the tasting. And I want to tell you something. The moment I tasted, everything in me said, I want more. I want more. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. I didn't know until I was in a place where I tasted. Okay, maybe I want to say something about that. I've encountered many, many, many Christians that when they hear the type of things that happen at our meetings and they hear how God moves and how the Holy Spirit interacts with people, they immediately like, that's not for me. Well, then I want to say to you what we used to say to our children. How do you know you've never tasted? You see, if I had allowed my flesh to dictate, I would probably still believe today that this is not for me. But because God brought me to a place where my spirit tasted, I can say to you, irrevocably, unequivocally, this is for me. But I first had to taste. One of the problems we have in the Christian church is, you know, a lot of people are like, but that's not from God. That doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. You haven't tasted. Is it biblical? If it's biblical, taste it. You might be surprised what happens to your spirit. You see, Jesus says in his word, man shall not live from bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. But I want to make one very big distinction. The word is only going to feed you if it comes through the Holy Spirit. Anybody can pick up the Bible and read a couple of verses. It's not necessarily going to do much. But when it comes through the Spirit of God, it changes things. I want to remind you, Mark chapter 1. I'm not going to go read it. I'm just going to give it to you as an example. Mark chapter 1. Jesus enters a synagogue in Capernaum. He goes, he takes the scroll, and he begins to teach them. The crowd listens, and they make the following statement. Let me actually read it. I'll come back to Galatians now, where I want to go to. Let me actually read this to you. This always blesses me when I see this. Matthew, Mark, there we go. Mark chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse 21. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath day came, Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach. What do you expect to find in a church? You expect to find a sermon on a Sunday, don't you? Jesus went in there just like everybody else. He went to teach. Nothing strange about that. But now look at how the people reacted when Jesus spoke. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. I want to show you this. When Jesus walked into that church under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, when he spoke, everybody, wow. I want to tell you, there were people there that day, for the first time their spirit was fed. Because their spirits never got fed when the Pharisees preached. Because we know that the Pharisees like to make themselves look good when they spoke. They were not speaking to glorify God. Most of the times they were just speaking to impress people. That's not the Spirit of God. So we are sitting with a reality that there were people that were sitting in those churches, and even though they went to hear the Word of God, they never got fed. Because it's the Spirit of God that feeds you the Word. It's not man. Man can't feed you the Word. The Spirit of God does. So that day when Jesus spoke, the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. The Bible is giving us an immediate distinction between what came out of Jesus and what came out of the teachers. Why was the word that came out of Jesus different? Because he had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit and he was filled with the power of God. And when he opened his mouth, it was the Spirit of God speaking through him, bringing living water to people. If you're very, very, very thirsty, and I give you a cracker, is that going to help you? It'll make your problem even worse. It'll be like... Have you ever tried to eat a cracker when you've got very dry mouth? It's like the most horrible thing, because you can't swallow. So there's only one thing that'll do. You need something to drink. Okay, so imagine we lived in a life where there was no Coca-Cola, there was no Pepsi, there was no Fanta. There was just water. The best thing for you would be if I give you a glass of water. And if I give you a glass of water, you probably think, ooh, I want to stay here. This is a good place for me to be. I feel better now. I need this. Do you know the world is full of people that, even though they don't realize it, that's the place where they are. They are in a desert. Their spirit has never been fed the living water of God. Because Not everybody that reads from a Bible is filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks through the lips of a man, it cuts to the heart. Point I'm trying to make, that day when I was in that church, I had a similar moment to what these people experienced in Mark chapter 1. They were amazed at his teaching. That day, I sat at the back of that church in amazement. Because suddenly the Word of God became alive. The Word of God filled my entire being. And everything in me went, boom. My life changed. Next morning, I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, you can use me, but whatever that I get, I want it. They say you must be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. I had no idea where my life was about to go. You see, let me tell you something about me. The people that know me well will be able to tell you that I'm actually a fairly quiet person. I'm a bit reserved. I'm not really an extrovert. And that's how I've always been. The last thing that you would expect from me is to stand in front of people and preach. In fact, my mother has frequently commented how blown away she is when she comes to some of my meetings and she hears me talk because it is so out of character for me. The next time she's around, I'm going to ask her to talk to you about it because probably you think I'm joking. But as a child, I was very quiet. Even as a teenager, I was very quiet. As a young adult, I was very quiet. And suddenly, I have a lot to say. But not about everything. About one thing in particular. When you get me started talking about God, you can't shut me up. But don't expect me to say too much about other things because I might not have much to say there. Because the living water comes out of me in one specific area. When we start talking about God, about how God works, about the Spirit of God, then boom, something happens. Be careful what you ask for. I felt different from that day on. Very different. And I'll never forget. I had my own business, and I did fairly well. And I needed to go see somebody for business that day. And I drove to Edenvale. And I had to see a lady in her office. And we'd done business before. We'd spoken about a lot of things before, business related. But that day, when I walked into her office, I had a really strange experience, if I could put it to you this way. When I sat in her office, I felt the sadness. And I didn't have a reason to be sad. And the more I spoke to her, the worse this thing became, this experience was. There is a gift of the Holy Spirit called a word of knowledge. It's when God gives you a word of knowledge, the gift of a word of knowledge, He gives you knowledge about somebody that you didn't gain through natural means. In other words, she didn't say to me, Rion, you know what, I'm going through a lot of things in my life right now. I actually feel very sad. My life feels in a hopeless place. I felt in myself what she was feeling. Now, I also have to explain to you that nobody ever taught me how this stuff works. I was a bit in the deep end that day. Because I'm sitting here and I'm actually finding it difficult to talk to her because it's like my heart is being squeezed and I feel weird and I feel panicky. And eventually, I just said to her, listen, I don't know exactly how to put it, but I get this very strong feeling. It's like God is talking to me about you and this and this and this is where your life is. She looks at me with these big eyes. She says, how do you know that? I don't know, but this is what I'm feeling. Is that what's going on in your life? She says, yes. And then something happened. These words came out of my mouth. God says, don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. God's going to take you through this. This woman's eyes went huge and she started crying. She bawled her eyes out. Now me, I'm sitting there, I'm feeling like an idiot because I made the woman cry. But you know what? What I didn't know is she was crying out to God that morning to speak to her about her life. And I walk in there, and this is like the first day that I'm walking under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, wow. And then I said these words, and when I said them, I actually thought to myself, who are you and what have you done with Rihanna? I said, come, let's pray together. I'm like, what? You see, one of the things that you must understand, when it came to praying and talking about God, I was gone. I couldn't do stuff like that. And here I'm volunteering to do it. It's like, how does this stuff work? And you know what? I had boldness. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, stay in the city until you have been endowed with power from on high. Because you need boldness if you are going to work for God. You need boldness, which doesn't come from the flesh. It comes through the Spirit of God. I prayed with that woman and something happened to her that day. I don't even know what it was. But by the time we were finished praying, she was laughing, no longer crying. And I remember I walk out of her office and I go and I stand in the street and I turned to this big building. I looked at that building and I said these words out loud. I said, man, what just happened there? Because it was so different from what I was used to. But the power of God began to work through me from that day on. Now, getting back to my conversation earlier on about curses. Now here I am, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I begin to speak in tongues. The power of God is working through me. Amazing things are happening. I'm leading people to Christ left, right, and center. God's giving me godly opportunities. But something strange is happening in my life. I have these demonic encounters that I never used to want to talk about because people thought I was weird. Some people still think I'm weird, but that's okay. I used to have these demonic encounters where something comes and sits on me at night. When I wake up, there's this presence on top of me. I can't speak. I can't move. I can't do anything. And sometimes the thing even spoke to me, and that made me even more stressed. Now, this is very difficult to understand because you must now look at it from this point of view. I'm a child of God. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. And according to popular Christian culture and belief, the devil mustn't be able to touch me. But he comes and touches me every night. Now, how does this work? Of course, now you have to ask some questions. When you ask the Christian church, they tell you, no, wait. You're a child of God. The Spirit of God is inside of you. The devil can't hang any place in your life. Okay, fine. And when they explain it to you like that, to some extent, it makes sense. Until tonight when I go to sleep and this thing sits on top of me again. Then nothing that they say makes sense to me. So I was forced to study the Bible. It was a good thing, because I found some very interesting stuff in here. Interesting stuff that could help people like me. In fact, it's not just people like me. It's for all the children of God. Because one thing I realized is that the way a lot of people see things and the way it is not the same. And it's easy to judge somebody if you've never been there, but if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. I came to a realization. No matter what popular Christian culture dictates, somewhere in my life the devil has power. Because I'm experiencing the devil. You must understand the Holy Spirit doesn't plonk you down and give you fear and make you go mad. The Holy Spirit doesn't operate like that. So these things that I'm experiencing, I can't attribute it to the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. It must be some evil spirit. And I need to deal with this thing. And in the circles that I moved in, there was nobody that could help me to deal with this because they don't believe in this stuff. You talk about the stuff, they tell you, hey, calm down. It doesn't work like that. But it did in my life. I studied the scriptures. I read a couple of books. And you know what? It dawned on me. I must have demons working in my life. It's the only thing that makes sense. There were some nights when these things would, while I'm being pinned down and I have this fear, this thing would laugh in my ear like, what you gonna do now? You know, like, something spoke to me. And this didn't come from my mind. I heard these things. Have I got 10 minutes left? It's plenty time. So, to make a long story short, it was a little bit of a war going on inside of me, because on the one hand, I could see the logic that there's demonic activity in my life. On the other hand, I actually don't want to acknowledge it because, you know, who wants to have demons? You understand. But that war didn't last very long. I came to the realization, this must be it. And I said, Lord, if that's the way it is, then you have to help me to deal with it. You see, I saw something in the Bible that I didn't see in church anymore. Jesus cast out lots of demons. I never saw that happen in any of the churches that I attended. And then I began to ask the question, but if Jesus casted out a lot of demons and he told his disciples to go and cast out demons, why don't we see these things anymore? Why don't we experience the power of God in the same way? They tell me that the demons don't affect us anymore. But I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I don't find a scriptural reference for this stuff. Yet I experience that the devil is touching me. And, you know, interestingly, I had these experiences before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they were sporadic. They happened now and then. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it suddenly happened every single night. Why? Because now there's power in me that the devil doesn't like. You see, before I was a bit of a threat, now I was a much bigger threat. I decided that if nobody else is going to help me, God must help me, because this has to be dealt with. I locked myself in my office. I made a list of the people that I need to forgive. I made a list of all the sins that I need to confess. I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, I confess all these things. Lord, I forgive all these people. I'm sorry if I had issues with them, but I'm letting it go now. And then I said, Lord, I do believe that there is a spirit giving me a hard time, probably not just one, probably many, but I don't know who they are. But I'm asking for your help, please. These things have to go. I renounce whatever is in my life that is not from God. I command you in Jesus' name. And I mentioned fear and rebellion and frustration and anger and rejection, you know, all that. And then something very interesting happened. Something began to scream out of me. Now you must understand, something is screaming out of me, but I'm not screaming. This is like weird. And it screamed and screamed and screamed. It probably took a minute. There's no way that I had that much air in my lungs. I can't scream for a minute. I can scream for like 5 seconds and then it's gone. The amount of air that came out of me was just mind-blowing. And my whole body shook. And when it was finished, I felt completely different. I felt different when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. For the second time, I felt completely different. Do you know that my eyesight was better? My hearing was clearer. The way I saw colors, the way I experienced everything, it was like everything about me was raised one level. Like there was a darkness that was always around me that I didn't know it was there. But when it left, I immediately felt the difference. An easy way to understand it is if I put a backpack on you and there's 10 kilos and you eventually get used to the 10 kilos, that's just the way it is. I weigh these 10 kilos more. And then one day out of the blue, I come and I take it away and it's like you get up. It's like, what? Ooh, I feel different. I move easier. That's how I felt. It's like something that was there to handicap me was no longer there to handicap me. Even my thoughts, you know, I could think like that. Where before, I never realized it, but it was like my mind was oppressed in some way. I could still think, but it was much more difficult to think. I know it doesn't maybe make sense to you, but it does to me. I want to read you the scripture. It comes from the book of Galatians. I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from, let's say, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And clearly nobody is justified before God by the law. Because the law is not based by faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ. So that by faith we might receive the promise of God's Spirit. Okay. I came to a place where I understood that somehow my life was under a curse. When I spoke to most people from a Christian point of view, they told me this is impossible. But it wasn't impossible, it was possible. And when I applied God's solution, lo and behold, it worked like a bomb. It speaks here of faith. We must live by faith. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people today cannot be set free from the curse in their life because they have no faith in God's solution. Because there is no such thing as a curse. You know, in a lot of Christian churches, when you start speaking this way, oh, you're a cult. The other day I was told that I'm the leader of some cult. Well, that's your opinion. I don't think God shares it. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people cannot be redeemed, set free from the curse because they refuse to even acknowledge that it exists. Yet when you look at their life, it's clear to see that they are limited. They are not going forward. You know, we can be all stubborn about these things, but the reality is this. If God, who knows everything, allowed his son to become a curse, to release us from the curse, who are we to say that the curse has no merit? Who are we to say that the curse is not real? Who are we to say that the curse cannot touch us? You see, here's the thing. Just from the point of view of looking at the law, the Bible says we are all under a curse because the law is always telling you guilty, 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 guilty. Do you understand that? Under the law, everybody in this room is guilty. And God doesn't want us to be under a curse. Now, the law is not the only thing. Some of us went to fortune tellers, which is forbidden. And the enemy got a hold over your life, and because of that, he curses you. I shared with you more than once, but just to show how this works. I have a friend that when he was small, he had all sorts of behavioral abnormalities. If he lived in today's time, I want to tell you something, they would have had him on medications for ADD, ADHD, AD, you call it whatever. OCD and CDO. Eddie says he doesn't have OCD, he works alphabetically, he's got CDO. But I cut that off you in Jesus' name. Because I tell you what, this oak was busy, but like you have no idea. Now, interesting fact. His father was on radio. And his father was, today we would have called him a DJ. Back then, I'm not sure what they used to call them. And his father, one of the things that they did in this radio show is they interviewed a fortune teller. It was in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, where, you know, a lot of these things were sort of fashionable, let's say. And they interviewed a fortune teller, and he interviewed this person on radio. And she actually gave a prediction, let's put it that way. She gave a prediction that he would not live to see his next son. Which is quite scary. Now, let's say being a rational individual, he just said, oh, that sounds like a load of nonsense. He cut it. So what? You know. Unfortunately, the devil has power through these things. He didn't even realize that his wife was pregnant. But the spirit that spoke through that woman knew. Because a couple of weeks later, he found out that, in fact, he was going to have another child. And then he had a heart attack, even before the child was born. Was it the devil that took him? We could debate that till the cows come home. But the fact of the matter is, he came under a curse. Now, the child was mentioned in this prophecy. Here's the thing. When this young man was born, there was a lot of demonic problems in his life. One of the reasons why he was so busy was because there was a lot of spirits that cursed his life. When I came into his life, he was about 21 years old, 22 years old, somewhere around there. And I will never forget, it took me, okay, it was back in the day when I was just starting. It took me weeks to cast all the demons out of this boy. And there was plenty. God set him free from the curse. The curse came off him. It came off his brother. It came off his sister. And a lot of things changed. Today, he's a wonderful young man. He's well adjusted. He's a good husband. He's a good provider. Back in the day when he was still under the power of these evil spirits, he got involved in witchcraft. He got involved in sorcery for a time. He was a Satanist. But that wasn't where God wanted him to be. God had mercy on him. But he had to come out from under the curse. He did come out from under the curse. And you know what had to happen? The implementation of Galatians chapter 3. It says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. If you tell me that there is no curse, then you must explain to me why Jesus had to become a curse. Because it doesn't make any sense. But I want to say something to you. Just because it happened doesn't mean that it's applied to your life. You have to apply it. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus became a curse on the cross because in the Old Testament, under the law, there is a specific law written that says, if anybody is found guilty of a capital offense, and the chosen method of execution is crucifixion. In other words, if he is hang on a tree, the word for tree and the word for cross is the same. Do not leave his body on the cross overnight, for the one that is on the cross when the darkness comes is cursed of God. That makes no sense whatsoever until Jesus gets crucified. And the sun suddenly disappears. And in the darkness, Jesus says these words, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Galatians 3 tells us that Jesus became a curse on the cross. At that moment in the darkness, when the curse came upon Jesus, he legally took your curse, your curse, your curse, your curse, my curse upon himself. But everything in the Bible is applied by faith. Just because it happened doesn't mean you have faith in it. And until you don't have faith in it, it also cannot start working for you. You know, salvation is the same. How many of you believe that Jesus died for the sin of mankind? Okay, so is all of mankind saved? Why not? Because only those who put their faith in what he's done have the benefit thereof. I put my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. God set me free. And that was only the first time. There was many other things that God showed me later in my life that I had to deal with. But every time I put my faith in God, and every time I put my faith in the Word, and every time I chose to renounce that curse and accept God's solution, it worked for me. I want to tell you something, I'm not special. If it could work for me, it can work for you. It can work for all of us. The Holy Spirit wants to help people when it comes to this stuff. The problem is a lot of people don't see the reason why the Holy Spirit should help them, because they were taught, you don't need that. How many Christians commit suicide? Plenty. Is that from God? No. The spirit of death is working in their life. Spirit of suicide is working in their life. Do we have to accept it? No, we don't. But until you don't challenge it, confront it, and give it a hiding, it's going to go nowhere. The Bible says our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Which just tells us that there's a whole bunch of chochos out there that wants to make war against you. What must you do? Fight back. And let's ask the question, does God fight for you, or does God expect you to fight for yourself? You see, the Christian life is a life where if you can't wage war, you can't be a Christian. It's not debatable. Look at your neighbor and say, our warfare.
Our warfare.
That includes you. That includes me.
Yes.
Christianity. Everybody would love for there to just be peace in this world. But I want to tell you something, there's a devil out there. And that's why a lot of Christians have no peace, because the devil is very busy in their lives. But you don't have to take it. You can also come to a place that you put your foot down and say, ah, I don't need this nonsense. I started off by talking about a conversation that I had a while ago with somebody. Everybody has problems. I am open to that. Everybody has issues. I am open to that. But a lot of the problems and issues that we have, we were not created with it. It came into our life because of disappointment, because of failure, because of problems. And sometimes the devil in that moment of weakness gets a hold. The Bible wants you to be a new creature in Christ. But for you to be a new creature, the old things have to go. For some of you, that includes your anger. For some of you, that includes your low self-esteem. For some of you, that includes your violence, addictions. And the list goes on and on and on. Impatience. God didn't make us that way. Sometimes the things we were exposed to, like this friend that I shared with you, what happened in his father's life exposed him to it. It was a generational curse. But there is hope. I want you to listen to these words. Jesus Christ became a curse for you, that you no longer have to suffer under the curse, but that you might inherit, listen, the blessings of Abraham. What, according to the Bible, is your inheritance? Is it the curse or the blessing? Okay, so if you don't see the blessing right now, what must you do? Fight. Because God says, you can have it. You see, my life changed a lot. But it only changed when I got to the point that I said, I'm going to fight back. I don't want this nonsense anymore. Probably you should come to a place in your life where you say, I'm going to fight back. I don't accept this. You don't have to accept the sickness. You don't have to accept the infirmity. You don't have to accept the things that control your mind, like depression or darkness or heaviness or doubt or confusion or unbelief or forgetfulness or whatever. You can fight back. You don't have to accept the things that control your heart, like jealousy and envy, rage. You can fight back. And the curse that has already been paid for on the cross will have to go, when you have faith in what Jesus has done for you. Amen?
Amen.
Did anybody learn something? Give the Lord a big hand.